Blog Talk Radio.
Illinois ex-governor Rod Blagojevich sentenced to 14 years in prison. Now that sounds like some pressure to me. Listen up. Interesting shows that I have done in some time. This is your host, Teresa Banks, and you are listening to LSEC Radio. And as I said there early on before starting that beautiful singing by Miss Sylvia Federick of her song Pressure from her CD, Sister Under Construction, I gave mention of today's subject matter, that our ex-governor here in the state of Illinois, Rod Blagojevich, has been sentenced to 14 years in prison. And I tell you, I have seen so much on the news, whether it be the printed newspaper or the television. I've heard so much on the radio that I thought, let me just go ahead and pull together a program and give my two cents about the whole deal. Now, of course, the media is just dragging this thing out, and they have done so for several days now, ever since his sentencing. And as we know, trial one was some time ago, and we can't forget trial one. I mean, we had the flamboyant lawyers that were talking about what they were going to do for him and how they were looking to get him off, and they gave us all these different reasons on why, of course, he should not be convicted. And in the end, the jury was indecisive. I mean, they didn't know one way or another whether or not he could be or should be convicted. And I think in the end they came down with maybe one ruling on one of the several different counts that were against him. And they claimed that they were just overwhelmed. It was just really too much to even muddle through. And then trial number two. Honey, I mean, before trial number two even started, I think most of us were happy to hear that Rod's brother was going to be let off, that he no longer had to worry about his own trial, and that they were going to pretty much just leave him alone and concentrate on Rod himself. And they nailed down their case. I mean, they reduced what they were going to charge him with and how they were going to handle the whole thing. And, of course, there was the talk about all of the tapes they had made of different things he said in conversation. And, whew, Lord, honey, I'm just glad it's not me, because I tell you, I say some crazy things in what I hope to be closed conversation and especially closed text messages. And so I can only imagine by the time he was sitting up there in court and they're playing all of this back, and of course most of us heard it even before he made it to court day in and day out. But, you know, that was just a lot to do in regards to trial number two. And then the 14-year sentence comes down, and we're told that at the very minimum he has to serve at least 85% of the 14 years, so like 11, 12 years he has to do. And, you know, honey, the author sister in me was thinking, I can't wait to try and be one of his pen pals. I guess I just like to write, and I like unusual pen pals. I mean, why not write to the governor, right? And so, as I said before, the TV has just been broadcasting this day in, day out, the print media, and we have just heard about it all over the radio. They've been comparing him to past governors and past officials, and based on what they've said, we knew that he was going to get some kind of crazy number of years. And they kept saying, for example, it had to be at least 10 or more, and the prosecution wanted at least 15 or more. And personally, I'm thinking, in comparison to so many people, and I was listening to the radio just the other day that someone had killed a person and that they wound up getting 5 or 6 years. I mean, in comparison to something like that and the corruption that Blagojevich was facing, I mean, for some of us, it just doesn't even feel like it compares. But at any rate, the media, of course, has just been going insane talking about this case. And then there's the side of our ex-governor's family. I mean, we're watching his wife, Patty, and the tears flow in. And I was feeling for her. I was thinking, now she's got to raise these daughters on her own. She has to cope. She has to figure out how the kids are going to cope through all of this and visiting him in prison. What prison will he be in? Will it be somewhere close or not? And nowadays, they're also talking about whether or not he should keep his pension money. So the house that they're in has already been up for sale. And so now she has all of these additional concerns. And I think you can't really help but just feel a little bit, I think, for Patty and the kids. And, you know, there's been just so much speculation on the challenges that they are going to have to face. And, of course, time will tell it all, right, on what they truly have to deal with as a family. And we'll never see the bulk of that. We'll never see how the kids are feeling and what they have to deal with from a school perspective and embarrassment and everything else that comes along with one of your parents going to prison. And as a quick side note, you know, I can remember years ago visiting a family member that was in prison, and it was a really hot summer. I think there were maybe 6 or 7 of us balled into a tiny car at the time. And you get there, and first off, you feel like a prisoner yourself. I mean, they're patting you down. They're checking you out to make sure you're not bringing in any contraband. Then you visit the person. It's not like this little private spot. You're either in this open area or you're being watched. You can't hug the person a certain way. You have to sit a particular way. And it just feels so weird. And then you're driving forever a lot of times to even get there to see them. It could be 2 or 3 hours out, if not a further distance. So, again, I can't say enough. I feel for his family, and I just hope that they're able to pull through. And then, overall, we as the people of Illinois, there's, of course, our side to this whole thing. Will our state recover? And what will happen now with pay to play? Is it something that will cease? And I think personally, I don't think it ever will. I mean, I think the temptation is just too great. There are always the hands that are out, one hand trying to wash the other. And I just think it's too much. I think the bulk of the politicians just are crooked, and I think they always will be. I think there are some that are more than likely trying to be honest and do it the right way, but there's just always this thing about, well, what can you do for me? I mean, if I pass this law for you, if I stand alongside you, what will you do for me in return? And, you know, if I could use my old school slang word, I'd say it almost just feels trifling sometimes, to say the least. And I think from poor Blago's perspective, his talking can almost be his downfall, right? You know, and I'm one who loves the organization Toastmasters International. I've been in that speaking club since 1999. But even I would say to him, baby, sometimes you just have to shut up. I mean, he was all on the radio pleading his innocence and on TV, and he was on The Apprentice talking about how innocent he was and that if anything happened, that leniency should be given. And his wife was even on some type of reality show, and we saw her perspective of things. We even saw, I think, not only kind of a vulnerable side to her, but a strong side as well, that she's one who more than likely can endure. And then there's the angle with the jury. I mean, they're trying to decide based on the evidence given, whether it be trial one or trial two, they're trying to figure out the right thing to do. And if I can kind of reflect again on my own personal experience, I remember when I had to serve on jury duty, and it was nothing like I thought. I mean, the only thing that rang true is that I figured no matter what was said and done, I was going to stick with my guns and trying to do the right thing, trying to hear the case and be fair. But the thing about jury duty is you're sitting there and you can't ask any questions. You're just absorbing it all and soaking it in. I mean, they could be making up evidence if all you know, and you're trying to figure out the case and trying to decide the opinions to believe in the ideas that are presented before you. And you don't know how the story really went down. I mean, you have to say it all. You have to finally talk with your fellow jurors and make a decision based solely on what's given. And so I really feel for the jury. I think everyone should serve and get a true feel about it. But I tell you, jury duty can just be crazy. And I'm actually sitting here as I'm talking on this line, I'm watching someone, Pink Passion Kiss, I love your online username, type here in the chat, saying that that person is saying that they didn't like their jury duty either. And I tell you, it could be long, it could be grueling. It's not, at least here in Illinois and where I was at, it wasn't in some beautiful, luxurious room and like a conference room type setting. I mean, you were pretty much in this tiny room with these bland painted walls, given food that tasted like garbage, wasting your time in the room trying to decide someone's fate. So I think I probably digressed a bit long on that. But my point is just to say that we can't beat up the jury in regards to his fate, because they just did the best that they could. I mean, they did what they could based on the evidence that was given. And so, you know, I think bottom line, as I try and look at what my opinions are about this whole thing, I mean, I'm one who just soaks in the news, and I've been absorbing it all. I've watched it kind of like the O.J. trial. I mean, they followed him from the courthouse to driving to his home, and I'm just watching the whole thing and watching him sign books of people that have stuck their books that he's written in their face to be signed, and pictures, and they're hugging him and saying, you know, Governor, I feel so bad for you. And, you know, I don't know what to really think. I feel bad for his family, but I don't know that I feel bad for him. I mean, in listening to the tapes, it sounded like he was trying to sell the Senate seat, at least in my opinion, that he thought he had this little prize he could put up, almost like we put up our gifts on eBay to be sold. And that's just how it came across to me. Now, I wasn't sitting on the jury, but that's just my humble opinion. But, you know, it's always interesting hearing the voices of other people. And what I kept hearing is individuals saying, you know, what about the free rides that he gave to seniors? And what about the health care procedures he put in place to help people? And what about the good that he's done for our state? And I'll be honest in saying that I voted for him. I mean, I thought he was going to make a difference, and I thought he was going to put forth some changes. But I think we have to always pause and realize that no matter what all the good is a person has done, that sometimes the bad can almost outweigh the good. So I'm not trying to retry him, of course, here on the show. I'm just trying to say that, Rod, I guess in the end, we all typically get what we deserve. And I think that you did deserve some time in this case. And again, it's just my humble opinion. I think that you did some great things for the state. I think you deserve some time. I think 14 years is a lot. So I don't know. I don't know what a great number of years should have been. I don't know if you should have been just kind of stationed to, you know, a bracelet and staying at home, but 14 years seems like a lot. So I'm going to put on my calendar to write to you. Maybe we can start up some correspondence and I can check up on you, see how you're doing. And in the end, time will tell in regards to whether or not this large sentence of 14 years will make a difference, and whether or not our politics here in Illinois will change, whether or not our politicians will change. Will it serve as a deterrent? Will our politicians take a look and say, you know, if they gave him that kind of sentence, I mean, maybe we should adjust the way that we are doing business. I mean, maybe it will serve as a deterrent. We can only hope and hope for the best. And I know that I have been alongside many politicians. I've had some that have spoken at Toastmasters and other groups that I've belonged to, and I've worked with some, especially during holiday time when they really expose themselves and they really try and give back, whether it be that turkey for Thanksgiving or Christmas gifts at Christmas time to the kids. And I have to say, a lot of them seem fake and phony to me, like they're just doing it for the votes, like they really don't care for the people. Because I think when you care for the people, you're in our face all the time. We don't just see you at election time. We don't just see you at holidays. We know what you're doing. You're sending us a newsletter. You are typing to us through email. You, again, are in our face all the time. You're at council meetings. You are having town halls. You're inviting us out. You're hearing what's going on in the communities and what we're facing, whether it be foreclosures, whether it be loan situations, business problems. You're hearing us, and more importantly, you're doing something about it. So I don't know, in the end, as I said, how our state is going to fare, but I cannot wait to find out. So in between time, I'm going to give all of this probably another 2 or 3 days to mull over, where something else will happen, and then we'll hear about that something else. And then come February, I think it's either the 14th or the 16th, that Rod has to turn himself in. The media will refocus again, and we will watch him go from his house to whatever prison it is and wave the last goodbyes to the family, to the people on his block, and to us in our state. And then most of us will just forget about him, and we'll just go on and live. The others of us will plan on writing him, and the others will again see, you know, if the corruption in our state will stop. We have such a long history of ugly corruption and mobsters and everything else in our state. So we'll see. We'll kind of see how things turn out. So with that all said, I want to wrap up today's show saying to all of you that You know, if you don't like the way government is, you think about making some changes. What are you doing? You know, I talk to one good friend all the time that tells me it's going to take a revolution to make some changes. And we're seeing a little bit of that through our Occupy Chicago and our Occupy people across the states that are trying to make a difference. But what are you doing? Are you trying to run for office? Are you trying to support individuals that you truly believe in, that you think will make some changes that represent all of us and not just a select few? I think it's time for more of us to get off our butts and start making a difference and stop just flapping our gums. I don't like the gum flappers. I don't like the people that just talk and talk and talk and then complain, 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 and they are not doing. They're not executing some action. So as we head toward 2012, why don't you make that one of your New Year's resolutions, that you are going to start doing something? I know in my city, my suburb I live in, I'm at these city council meetings. I'm talking with the aldermen and alderwomen that are serving. I am rubbing shoulders with the mayor himself, and I'm voicing input and opinions, and I'm doing changes in my neighborhood. I'm working in the schools. I am trying to make a difference. What are you doing? How are you handling your city? What adjustments are you helping out and making in your state? Let's stop complaining as we head to 2012, and let's start figuring out how we can make a difference. Now, as I bring this program to a close, I tell you 30 minutes in a show goes entirely too fast. I'm tired of it going so fast. Maybe I'll extend this program to an hour. We'll see. Maybe that'll become my New Year's resolution. But as I wrap up today's program, I want to wish all of you a very happy holiday season. I can't believe we've already passed Halloween. We've already passed Thanksgiving. We're about to get into the Christmas season and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and just celebrate to the T. And then we're going to wrap up through New Year's Eve celebrations and bring on the brand new year. And I just pray that your friends and your family and you have a very safe holiday season. I want to remind all of you to become a friend of this show. There are so many exciting programs I've had already. I've had some amazing guests over the past year. I just celebrated my one-year anniversary being on the air, and I have just had some amazing people. So certainly look back at the archives and listen to some of the past shows. Become a friend of the show so that you know when the programs are coming up, because Lord knows I do them sporadically as time permits, unless there is a guest and they want a particular date and time. And I do it that way so they're not on my schedule. I'm on their schedule, and I can help them to promote their ideas, to get their products out, to talk about their books or whatever it is that they have to say. And I certainly, again, want to thank Pink Passion Kiss for typing to me here in the chat. And I've been talking more than I've been typing, but I appreciate you, Pink Passion Kiss, and I hope you will listen to future programs and be in future chats as well. I also want to remind all of you to drop me an email. Keep those emails coming, those of you who've emailed already. My email address is mailtobanks@aol.com. It's spelled M-A-I-L, the number 2, B as in boy, A-N-K-S, at aol.com. And I do reply to all of the emails personally that I do receive. And please make note, there's been a message going out as I've been sending emails indicating that I typically respond during the tail end of the week, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday time frame. So please be patient with me, but I always do respond. And then in regards to the web, I have streamlined where I am on the web because there are just too many places to be nowadays out here on the web. I am currently on Facebook and MySpace, and those are my two places of choice. So check me out and see what's going on and send me messages under those two areas as well. And then I said, we are into the holiday season, the gift giving and the gift buying. And I have four wonderful books that are available on Amazon.com that I hope you will not only check out, but you will go and purchase and send copies to your friends. I mean, nowadays you can do it so quick, you can even get the express delivery. So certainly go to Amazon.com. My four book titles are Woman of Integrity, Barrenhood, Becoming a Published Author, and the latest that's been selling almost off the shelves, Surviving a Layoff. And to those of you that have been looking for employment, I hope the workshops I've been giving have been of assistance to you. I certainly hope that book that I put out, Surviving a Layoff, will help you. And I will certainly keep all of you in my prayers, and I hope as you head toward 2012, you're able to find that new place of employment, if not start your own business as well. So pick up all four copies under my name, Teresa Banks, on Amazon. I wish you all the best in the upcoming year. Be happy, be healthy, and look forward to a wonderful upcoming 2012. Thank you for listening. I will see you all and talk to you real soon. Until then, take care and be blessed.
Thank you.